As some of the more discerning of you might have already figured out by now, today's topic is going to be called the game plan. Now, it'll be a little bit of sports analogies, but for those of you that don't have an ESPN bone in your body, we don't think... Are they all turned off now? Each one with a nice screech. Can you do them all? Finish them off there. All right. That's it. I only heard three. There should be one more yet.
I turned one off the
whole time. Okay. Good for you. These are all based on the teachings of the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So one of life's biggest questions, which undoubtedly, again, has occurred to the more discerning of you, is if you've ever been raised in a religious family, or if you had a friend whose father was a preacher and you're ever over at his house having cookies, maybe that friend's mother, preacher's wife, looked at you in the eyes and said, George or Sylvia or Susan or Sarah, with all the sincerity and the sweet innocent face, and said, there is a God, in case you had any doubts about that, and He does have a great plan for your life. You might have had a parent tell you that, or a neighboring lady. You might have heard about someone for whom that was a refrain throughout their growing up years. And naturally, we think about that, we wrestle with it, we try to come to terms with it, we try to process that question, we wonder about it, and sometimes we're frustrated in trying to work out how it is that if there's a God, He has a plan for my life. We grow older, we go to school, and we're forced to make decision after decision after decision after decision, and more, we're kind of buffeted about by these constant decision-making pressures. It's harder and harder to have faith in that assertion of that kind, well-meaning old lady that there's in fact a plan for my life. We have to decide what college to go to. Should I go locally or should I go out of state? And after you've been in college for a couple of years, you know, you go to the counselor's office and he asks you, what would you like to take for your major? And he actually asks it in such a way that he actually thinks that you have an answer to that question. You haven't decided what your major would be. You haven't decided what your vocation is going to be. If I do this, which I like more, I'll earn less. If I major in this subject, which I like less, I'll earn more. And then once I get my degree or my postgraduate degree, what job will I take? What city will I live in? What girl will I date? Or I'm dating this one, but maybe this is the one I should marry, you see? Or I should marry this one, but I'm more attracted to this one. And the decisions just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. And pretty soon that keen sense that there's a plan for my life, that there's a mission for my life, it kind of gets blunted. It kind of just takes a back seat to all the pressing, urgent decisions that we have to make in our lives. And we get to a point where if there's a plan, you know, maybe I should know about it. Maybe if there is a plan that God has crafted for my life, maybe He should do something about communicating it to me, because I don't know. I don't know whether God's plan is to live in Provo or Salt Lake City or St. Olaf's, Minnesota. I don't know whether God's plan is for me to major in the humanities or whether God's plan is for me to major in science or in computer technology. I'm not getting any signals here, God. Could you help me out? God seems to be silent, curiously and strangely silent on the subject. And so if He has a plan for me, it's hard for me to find out, to ferret out what His plan. It seems to be more mystery than certainty, and God seems to be more silent than He is vocal. It'd be like if you were in a sporting contest, and it's a Super Bowl game. You've got your helmet with the earphone in, all plugged in. You're connected to the coach. You're in a critical situation, but the coach isn't telling you anything. Either the earphones malfunction or the coach is just remaining silent, and he's leaving it to you to figure it out. And you're thinking, that's not fair. That's just not fair. Or maybe you're a student in a class and you come up to the final exams and you ask the professor, what are you going to test us on? And he says, I'm not going to tell you what the material is. I'm just going to spring the test on you, and I'm not going to give you any idea of what the test is going to cover or any way to prepare for it. I'm just not going to tell you. That would seem unfair to you. So we reach a point in our life when we've made a lot of decisions, we've made a lot of turns, and every time you make a decision, every time you go one way, means you'll never know what would have happened had you gone the other way. And it just seems like your life becomes random rather than planned. And you can't find the sense of purpose in your life. This college, that job, this city, this girl, that city. Maybe God isn't going to communicate to us in a silent, sort of a whispery, day-by-day way. Maybe like Saul on the way to Damascus on his donkey, a blazing flame of light's going to come out of the sky and knock him off of his donkey and communicate to him in one fell swoop what he should dedicate the rest of his life to. Maybe I'll be hiking in the Wasatch Mountains or the High Uintas one day, and all of a sudden a bush will start alight and there'll be a voice coming from the bush, you know. God's going to tell me what the plan for my life is, you know. Or maybe someday I'm looking at a rainbow and there'll be songs and hallelujahs and hosannas and I'll get them. You know, maybe that's the way it's going to happen. But actually, that's kind of freaky. You know, I'm like, I don't know if I'm exactly ready to get, you know, God's plan for my life in that way. So what is a program? I'm sure you've all thought about this, you know. Is he going to come to me? If not, am I doing something wrong? Am I missing something in my life? We seem to be at crossroads, you know, the crossroads between Destiny Way and Inspiration Drive. Should I stay in this job or go for this opportunity? Stay with this relationship? Maybe I've progressed far along the path of life. I've made the decision for marriage. I've made the decision to have a family. And some of the kids, I'm kind of worried about the way they're turning out. And so I have got to make some decisions about how to deal with that. And we're asking God, if you're out there, how do I go about finding out what those plans for my life are? What am I supposed to do? Where do I go from this point forward? Do I get married or don't I get married? Should I open a bakery? Should I become a crab fisherman? So the premise of this talk is exactly what that well-meaning old lady told you. The premise of it is that there is a God, and the promise is that He does have a plan for your life. And in the next 20 minutes, we want you to understand what that plan is and go from the uncertainty of today into the specifics of tomorrow. That old lady was right, and we hope to give you the answer today and clear up some of that confusion. But in order to do that, we have to start at the beginning. We have to start with the basics. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I have, where you're out hiking and you're trying to reach a certain peak, and you've taken a trail and you can see the peak, and first, it seems like this has to be the trail to get to the peak, but then you lose sight of it and you get lost and find you're not exactly making progress. And then you meet another hiker coming the other way on the trail and says, "Is this the way to Mount Baldy?" He says, "No, no." And he says, "Not only is this not the way, but you can't get there on this trail. You have to go back to the trailhead and then go here and then get the trail to Mount Baldy." So we have to go back to basics in order to answer the question, what is God's plan for my life? We have to go back and we have to start with God. And God is probably up there and looking at your confusion, looking at your uncertainty, and looking at all these questions that you're racked by. And he's like, what's the confusion? I covered all this. I've been over all this. I've been very, very clear about this in the Bhagavad Gita or the Bible or the Koran or the Talmud. He really doesn't understand how we've gotten ourselves tangled up. And the way we've got is we've gotten ahead of ourselves. Like a monkey leaping over prematurely. We've gotten too far ahead of ourselves too fast. We need to get back to basics. Now, if we want to know what God wants for our life in a general way, we can call through all the scriptures and we can come up with a list of things that God would like for us in our lives. If you had a list like that, they would probably read like this. God would like us to pray without ceasing. God would like us to give thanks for everything. He would like us to submit to authorities, to avoid immorality, and He would like our lives to be filled with spiritual purpose. And that's reasonable. I think everyone who's pious and righteous would agree. Those are good goals for our lives. And yet as we go down this list, it's some or other not emotionally satisfying. Just kind of a list of generalities. I have a specific questions. Should I marry this girl? Should I live in this city? Should I do this job? Should I do this for my child and all that? And it just seems like some generalizations in answer to some specific questions. And the mood I get is that maybe God doesn't really care all that much about the specifics of my life. And that's why I'm left hanging out there trying to figure everything out. At this point, we need to get back to fundamentals. We need to get back to basics, and here's where some of those sporting analogies come in. Vince Lombardi, the great coach of the Green Bay Packers, won Super Bowl after Super Bowl after Super Bowl, and even the Super Bowl trophy is named after Vince Lombardi. He had all these Hall of Famers on his team. He had Bart Starr as the quarterback, Paul Hornung, Ray Nitschke, all Hall of Famers. And yet every day, when they would have the first training session of the season, he would have all these guys in the locker room, and they would just won the Super Bowl the previous season and set all kinds of records for touchdowns and passes completed and so on and so forth. And he would say, "Gentlemen, this, what am I going to say, is a, what am I going to say? Football. Thank you very much. It weighs so much. It has little grids in it. It has laces. It spirals when you throw it this way." And he would discourse on the football, and he would pass it around. He said, "I want you, everyone, to pass it around and feel it and realize what I'm saying." And you can imagine, like, what Bart Starr threw 35 touchdown passes last season, thinking, you know, "I know what a football is. I don't have to be taught what a football is." And yet his point was very good. He was saying, we're starting the season. We're going to go through a lot of games. We're going to have a lot of different game plans. And I'm going to be communicating to you what to do in various, various tense situations. And if we're not all on the same page with this, there's the opening for miscommunications. Prabhupada used to say this all the time. You could be a mathematician and you could work out a beautiful theorem that takes 5 or 6 blackboards up, and every single calculation could be spot on, except you didn't take attention to the first calculation. You just did the first one, you just ripped it off, and it was 2 + 2 = 5. Everything else after, you feel blackboard after, everything else was right. But you started with the wrong premise. You got the basic axiom wrong, and that means everything else you got wrong. So what is the plan for my life? We have to get back to basics. And this is Krishna's football speech in the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 14th verse. "He who abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving devotional service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all." In other words, he's saying in this that the highest person is that who abides in God. The highest person is that who takes shelter in God. The highest person is that for whom God is central in his life and in his heart. The highest person is that for whom everything is organized around the satisfaction of God. In other words, God is not a component in their life. And how many of us is that true for? That God's not central. He's a component. We have our family, we have our business, we have our ATVs, we have our sports, we have our buddies, and we have God in there somewhere in the mix. And we say, "God, you're here and everything else is here, and God, you just stay here. You just behave yourself. Stay here, don't intrude. I've got all the other areas under my life under control. And if something spirals out of control, my finances or my marital relationships or one of my teenage kids, I'll call you in. I'll let you know. You come in, and when you come in, I just want you to fix this one thing and don't touch anything else." This is basically our attitude. Does it sound familiar at all? You know, God's around there on the periphery. But actually, Krishna is saying the highest person is that person who sets their vision above. We get so worried about the future that we end up going through life looking down, looking down. God says, seek the kingdom of God first and everything else will take care of itself. When we put the crown, you'll have an opportunity to have the crown on your head at the end. We say, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sadabhasanti Suryo Deviva Chakshuradatam Yad Viprashvipo Jav Gavansam Vishnu Tad Paramam Padam. Think of God as the sun in the sky. Think of those things which are beyond the sun. Think of those things which are the highest things. And when we realize that we're actually not from this world, that we're eternal spirit souls, and we really pre-existed the universe and will exist after the universe, then the things that we're so wrapped up and so concerned and so confused about, they're not as significant anymore. It's not that these things aren't important, finances and family and health. They're important, but they're not that important when you think that this body is temporary, but I as a spirit soul are eternal. When you start setting your sights beyond the sun, beyond this temporary material world, which is just like a fishbowl, then it's not that the problems go away. It's not that the decisions don't have to be made, but they're not as important. The bigger God gets, the smaller our problems and our confusions get. Our tendency is we exaggerate our own importance and we minimize God's importance. We should realize that you can never exaggerate enough God's importance. And we are created to serve Him. He's infinite and we're infinitesimal. So in the answer to the question of what is your plan for my life, God? The answer to that question is, He's not part of a plan for your life. He is your life. God is your life. It's explained in the Bhagavad Gita that there's two eternal entities in the breast of every living being. There's the individual soul, which is you or I, and then there's an expansion of God. The individual soul is called Atma. The expansion of God is called Paramatma. The individual soul is described Keshaga Shatika Bhaga Punasa Tamsakari Kara Shama Shukra Jivara Shurupahari. The length and breadth of the soul is approximated. Take one hair from your head, and if you had a weapon, samurai sword, that could cut a tip of a hair into 100 parts, just for imagination's sake, and then you took one 100th the size, and then you cut it into another 100 parts, and then you took one of that one 10,000th the size of a tip of a hair, would give you some conceptual idea of the dimensions of the soul. So tiny. A spark of God, qualitatively equal to God. God's eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and we as infinitesimal sparks have the same qualities. Just like a blazing fire has light and heat, and a little spark has light and heat. But the difference between ourselves as individual souls and the Paramatma, or the super soul, is that He is like 10,000 suns rising in the sky. He knows everything, past, present, and future. He knows He's not only in my body, but He's in your body. He's in the body of Jai sitting over there. He's in the body of Lon. I only know, as a limited soul, what's going on in this body. I only know the pains and pleasures in this body. And I'm easily covered and influenced by matter and the waves and vicissitudes of tide and time. I don't have much power. I don't have perfect knowledge. And I get distracted and derailed very easily, and I get overcome by darkness. So let me ask you this question. If there are two souls in your heart, one of them is 1/10,000th the size of a tip of a hair, and very limited in cognition, and very limited in power, and the other soul is the Supreme Lord who's in everyone's heart, who knows everything past, present, and future, who created all the universes, spiritual and material, which one do you think should guide my life? Which one should be the component and which one should be the center? Which one should be peripheral and which one should be central? The one who has the effulgence and power and knowledge of 10,000 suns, or the little 1/10,000th the tip of the hair? So imagine the relief. Imagine the joy. Imagine the ecstasy when we give up trying to be God and we actually surrender to God who's right beside us. And the only reason He hasn't intervened before is because He's waiting for us to invite Him. He doesn't want to be a resident in our heart. He wants to be the president of our heart. But we have to invite Him in first. So He's not a component of our life. He is our life. If I can do this, that's because the Lord, all power, allows me to do this. If I can speak, it is by the sanction of the Lord. Not a blade of grass moves, not a sparrow falls to the ground, but that it is sanctioned by the Lord. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Ridhi Shanivishto Matash Mitir Gyanam Apovanam Cha. I am seated in the heart of all living entities. From me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So we can start with Him as a component and say, Our Father, give us our daily bread, give us this, solve this problem, don't intrude here, don't. He may start there, but He's not going to leave it there because He loves you too much. He loves you. We're eternal spirit souls in the prison house of this material world. Some are being caught up in this world of birth, death, disease, and old age, and we're suffering. And God loves us too much to actually listen to what we want. If you're a prisoner and you say, I want special privileges, you know, instead of bread and water, I want curtains on my window and television set. Will an honest well-wisher give you what you want? Well, maybe to a certain point, but what does your well-wisher ultimately want for you? To get you out of prison. Right? Not just to improve your condition in the prison, but to get you out of prison. So God loves you too much to remain your order carrier, your step and fetch it. He wants you back home, back to Godhead, to resume your life of eternality, bliss, and knowledge. And yet we're saying, well, you know, I do this, and God's in the mix, and I even go to church occasionally like that. So Krishna, will you please bless all that? That would just be super. But God is a far too big of a God to stay there. So, in wrestling with some of these issues, one of the answers that becomes clear is that we should not focus so much on the future, but we should actually focus on that person who's going to walk us through our future. He's got our future planned for us, so why don't we just focus on Him? All the great Vaishnavacharas, Rupa Raghunatha Pade, I focus not on the rocks and the thorns that are immediately before me on my path, but I focused on the feet of the previous acharyas, the great saints and sages who have gone ahead of me, who are trailblazers and in whose footsteps I tread. In Krishnadas Kaviraj's great classic about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he has this famous verse, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Vish. Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kono, Bhagavana Jiva, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Vish. After revolving in the cycle of birth and death, after being in the prison house of this material world for who knows how many incarnations, when one finally comes to terms with this issue of what is God's plan for my life, one seeks out the Lord, and in response, the Lord sends one a bona fide representative, a bona fide spiritual master. And the bona fide spiritual master, whether he be Jesus Christ or Joseph Smith or whoever it may be, their message is always going to be the same. Their message is always going to be the same. God is your life. He's not a part of your life. He is your life. He's the soul. He's the soul of your soul. So once we start this process of centering our life around God and focusing not on the problems, but on the person, you see, who is going to lead us through life, it doesn't mean that everything just becomes peaceful and hunky-dory and you're just tiptoeing through the toilets. Tulips. There may be upheavals. There may be catastrophes. There may be financial reverses. God doesn't promise to save you from every dark valley of life. In fact, sometime, to show the faith and the steadfastness and the joy of His devotees, He'll take them through darker valleys than other people. And people look and they say, well, I'm not going to devote myself to God because I don't want that to happen. He doesn't promise that you won't have an accident. He doesn't promise that you won't have reversal. But He promises that in the process, you'll have peace. You'll have peace with God. and you'll have clarity. Whatever it is that's planned for you, and whatever it is that you're enduring, you'll have peace in the process. And when you get that right, the rest, just details. Just details. Recognize that it's always been about Krishna. It's about Krishna, the God, and always will be about Him. He says, Vedas aha sarvayar aham vedanta krit vedavid eva jaham. Our scriptures of India are vast volumes and volumes of literatures called the Vedas. You couldn't even read them in one lifetime. And they cover architecture, they cover medicine, they cover science, they cover aerodynamics. Vedas are vast, vast volumes. And they also cover God's plan for this world and for our lives, generally as well as individually. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am the Vedas, I am the compiler of the Vedas, and by the Vedas, I am to be known. So if you're a Christian or Muslim or Hindu or Jew, and you may be able to quote scripture back and forward, you may be able to recite this and that and the other thing, but if you haven't realized that it's about a personal relationship, it's about a person. We're not ultimately meant to focus on rules and regulations or even scriptural passages. We're meant to focus on that person who created us, and in doing so, plan our life. So now what? You know, we've had a talk, we've had maybe a little bit of clarity, a little bit of illumination Sunday. How do I take this into Monday? How do I take it that God is my life? That my life is meant to be lived for the satisfaction of God? How do I take that into Monday? I feel it might be true today, but when I have to go to work and I have to commute in the traffic and I have the kids, how do I take this? How do I translate this into Monday? Here's a key from the Sanskrit. Srinvata Shra Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirta Haridantashtu Abhadane Vidunoti Saritsatam. How do we begin? What do I do practically? If there's a homework, if there's some application from this, what do I do to begin to solve this problem and get on with the plan that God has for my life? Srinvata Shra Kata Krishna. It begins with hearing. It's as simple as that. It begins with hearing. Srinvata Shra Kata Krishna. Kata means topics of Krishna. Krishna is a name for God. There are Kata Krishna in Bible and Quran and so many scriptures. It is all about the glories of the Lord. Punya Shravana Kirtanam. By hearing and chanting, and that's what you're doing right now. I'm chanting and you're hearing. Shravana Kirtanam. The result of this is that you become pious. It no longer becomes about me, but it actually becomes about Him. And that is in what consists piety. And then Vidunoti Saritsatam means that your well-wishing friend, that personality who accompanies you in the region of the heart, is more brilliant than 10,000 suns. He purifies us. He banishes the darkness just as surely as the sun banishes the fog when it rises in the morning. That awakening in us can be nurtured and cultivated by as simple a process as hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Open a Bhagavad Gita, pick up a set of japa beads, inquire about purifying one's foodstuffs. These things are not difficult. They're easily performed and they're blissful. Make a plan to stay focused. Don't focus on the future. Don't be consumed by focus on the future. Focus on the Lord of the heart, because He ultimately will lead you to the future that He's got planned for you. So, it doesn't change the fact that decisions are coming upon you. Just decision after decision. You're forced to make decisions. They seem to be urgent. Doesn't change the fact. But Krishna says that if you get the central feature right, if you get the basics right, then everything else will fall into place. In the Bhagavad Gita, he says, to those who are constantly devoted to me with love, I give the understanding by which they come to me. I, dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. That's the game plan for our life. And my suggestion to you is, if any of this makes sense to you, start off tomorrow morning and for the next 7 days, Just relax. Just rest. You've been trying to be God for a long time. You've been trying to control outcomes and circumstances. And you've been way over your head. We've all been way over our heads. So as we contemplate on turning our life over to that person who created all the universes and maintains and manages them, as we contemplate that, give yourself a rest. For the next 7 days, just retire from being God and let God be God in your life. Shift from all these anxieties and concerns about the future and just focus on your deliverer. Focus on the fact that Krishna loves you, He has plans for you, and He's living inside of you. I don't think there's anything better for you to do on Monday morning than to just rest and let God's plans for your life unfold from within you. He is the plan for your life. And our question now changes. The question we had 20 minutes ago is, God, what should I do with my life? The question now becomes, what should I do with your life, which is within me? And I believe, and I hope you agree with me, that that is a far more powerful, significant question to ask. And we'll conclude with these thoughts. There is a lot of uncertainty. There is a lot of stress. And there are decisions that are looming for all of us. Lord, would you give us the faith to rest in knowing who you are and what the future means for us and what that means for the future? Would you give us the strength to shift our focus away from the future and to put our focus where it should have been the whole time, which is you? Will you give us the peace in knowing that you are within us and that you are for us? And then if you're willing, chant with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.